This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, commenting on the Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles, just concluded, attended by the President and Vice President of the United States and leaders of significant nations throughout the Americas, Brazil and Chile, the newly elected president of Chile. A colorful and unusual leader at 35 did attend, along with other strong voices in the region, the president of Argentina, for example. However, not in attendance, because not invited, I believe, Nicaragua, Ortega, Cuba, and Venezuela. The president of Venezuela was on an embassy just concluded through the Middle East, and I have this document. Iran and Venezuela have signed a 20-year cooperation plan in a bid to counter crippling U.S. sanctions on their oil-rich nations. The deal includes working together on oil, petrochemicals, defense, agriculture, tourism, culture. Professor, this is unusual. It would ordinarily look as provocative, given that Iran is under severe sanctions and its economy is reported in tatters. Venezuela's economy, while not in tatters, has led to the flight, that's the only word I can think of many of its best and brightest, its best educated, hardest working people to seek compensation and fairness elsewhere, flowing into Central America, flowing into the United States, into Brazil. So this agreement between Iran and Venezuela, do we regard it as window dressing? Or is this the beginning of a relationship that has that has economic merit for these two countries?
John, the Iran-Venezuela relationship has been going on for quite some time. And in many ways, it's a relationship of mutual interest, given that both are under sanctions and perceive that they have very little to lose, and that both are independent enough from the Western economies that they believe that they cannot be touched too much more by additional significant sanctions. But in the current agreement, on the one hand, Iran benefits substantially because it's being paid in Venezuelan gold, largely illicit gold, as well as the oil that it's receiving with the oil swap agreements. So essentially, Iran, by providing not only some of the initial dilutants, but now some of the heavier oils, and providing resources for the reparation of Venezuelan refineries, is helping Venezuela to get its oil production system back online, which, again, provides more resources to the Maduro administration. The other broader initiative that you mentioned, Maduro's trip to the Middle East with multiple different stops, is also not new. He's done this periodically, and there's a couple different factors. Number one, of course, some of those Middle Eastern countries, including one that did not go to, Turkey, played critical roles in the laundering of Venezuelan gold. But beyond that, it's been part of showing Venezuela's kind of broader solidarity, finding countries, oftentimes authoritarian countries, that are willing to collaborate and be Venezuela's friend. However, my understanding is that there is very little of substance that came out of those meetings. There may have been a sidebar meeting. It's speculated between Maduro and the Russian foreign minister on the sidelines of one of those meetings. But in general, there's also substantial business dealings. We've mentioned Tariq Alassami, the current oil minister, but also the person who is the lead in many of the Venezuelan business dealings with the Arab world, and a substantial amount of the corrupt deals that go along with that. And so it's in part no surprise that through that essentially Middle Eastern Lebanese connection that Alassami, and previously also Tariq William Saab, had brought to the Venezuelan government, that's opened the door for a lot of these Middle Eastern business and thus indirectly a strategic connection. So really just it shows how there are relationships of mutual interest that unfortunately at the end of the day are continuing to pump life into this autocratic regime in Caracas.
At the same time, I mention a story that was prior to the Summit of the Americas, but it certainly influences decision-making about Venezuela, is the Biden administration lifting some sanctions on Venezuelan oil to flow to Europe in one instance. The details will be worked out. Is this seen now after the Summit of the Americas as discordant with the way that the U.S. has regarded Venezuela till now, an authoritarian regime that crushes its people. I'm mentioning this because Maduro is always eager to make the agitprop point about imperialism, and the U.S. would the meant to be the target of those remarks. The U.S. is looking to, in some fashion, give him a handhold back to the community of nations.
Well, certainly, John, in terms of the strategic effects and in terms of actually getting some of the things that the Biden administration was looking for, this continues to look like a bad idea, but one can recognize that the reasoning. Certainly, oil is part of that reasoning. And so what we saw is, on the one hand, the extension of the general license for Chevron, which it comes with the expectation that that will help put more oil into the hands of the U.S. Now, that may be, best bet an additional 400,000 barrels once that comes back on. And of course, the other two general licenses to European companies, Repsol and Eni, which again, because of the debt owed to them, the intention is that that oil would go essentially to Europe, which, because of the war in the Ukraine, in terms of the effects, certainly, as we've seen from Maduro's travels, as we saw previously from Delcy Rodriguez's meeting with Russian representatives also in the Middle East, that has not changed Venezuela's behavior. Indeed, in addition to giving a lifeline to the regime, it has been a signal to others such as Argentina and perhaps as well to China and Russia that now is the time to begin to re-engage a little bit more with Venezuela. And so at the end of the day, it certainly hasn't brought Maduro back to any type of negotiating table, as was expected. There was the release of two hostages as a goodwill gesture, but there's been very little more than that forthcoming. And certainly it has exposed the Biden administration to strong criticism with relatively little effect on international oil production. So it certainly continues to look like a bad idea, and the Summit of the Americas probably highlights the degree to which Maduro's star has risen because of, or at least in spite of these gestures. But one at least can recognize the reasoning that the Biden administration appears to have, at least what it's trying to achieve.
And finally, we have a couple of minutes, Professor. Agence France reported Nicaragua approves joint military exercises with Russia, allowing for the entry of foreign military personnel as well as ships and aircraft. The decree vouchsafed by the chamber in Parliament in Nicaragua. The decree lists naval and air force exercises to fight drug traffickers and international organized crime. Is this seen as a step towards Russian troops in Central America? Or again, is this a provocative move by Ortega and that the Russian troops are not to be permanently stationed? Can we tell? We have a couple of minutes.
Well, it certainly goes back to the Cold War days post 1979, when Nicaragua was one of the chief points of entry for Russian forces into Central America. It is both more and less than it seems. It's less than it seems in the sense that the wording seems to indicate a relatively routine agreement to bring small numbers of Russians in to participate in exchanges and, as you pointed out, exercises whose scale is of an unknown extent. Certainly opens the door if the Russians ever need to come in for what are called humanitarian activities, although we've seen that turn into something relatively broad in terms of regime support in Central Asia, elsewhere with Russian forces. But I don't think the Russians have the resources right now or the will to deploy forces in Nicaragua in a large way. And certainly with the Sandinista-dominated Nicaraguan Congress, this was really a formality and one that reminds us of the threat that Russia continues to pose through anti-U.S. regimes in the region, such as Nicaragua, but also Maduro and in Venezuela and the Díaz-Canel regime in Cuba.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute on the Summit of the Americas concluded and the after effects on our adversaries in the Americas. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.